There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Phone number 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. And we'll get to my buddy Kyle Hamrick from Lanyap in just a second. I want to give you a heads up, too. As we've talked this week about the Mobile Law Enforcement Foundation, they are raising money through their website going directly to wounded Mobile police officer Lieutenant Matthews. My buddies out at Stone Arms, Jeff sent me this yesterday and said they're doing this. It's on their Facebook page. So if you'll go to Stone Arms on Facebook, they have a post up here. And Jeff, a retired Mobile police officer as well, said it's time to help a hero who has always been there for the community and is a personal friend of ours. Stone Arms is donating a Glock 17 Gen 6, and they will be selling raffle tickets for a chance to win. So this is the Gen 6 Glock 17. Tickets are $20 each, cash only, and in-store, please, which I've told you is just west of Snow on Airport Boulevard. They're doing $20 each. All proceeds go directly to Lieutenant Matthews, a.k.a. Scooby, as they call him, I guess, at MPD, who's been in service for over 26 years. Lieutenant Matthews is going to have an extended recovery time and will need our help. The outpouring of love and wanting to support we've received so far has been overwhelming. We continue to ask for your thoughts and prayers. The drawing is going to be done on March 2nd at 6 p.m. Winner does not need to be present to win. If you don't want to be part of the raffle, you can also just donate at Stone Arms, Inc. So you can either go in person, get those raffle tickets for that Glock, or you can go and donate money through there. So between there, Mobile Law Enforcement Foundation, people are raising money for Lieutenant Matthews, and that's a good thing. All right, with that, we bring on my man Kyle from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Also had been covering this story over on the website this week. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
Man, it's good. It's good. It was a heck of a way to get into a new year in Mobile.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was like, yeah. I remember hearing the story, like, weekend things, I start getting the news a little slower, a little more slowly. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. It's a weekend in the new year. What are we doing with a standoff and a shootout?
Right. And then, you know, we had a standoff in Daphne. We had a standoff in Sims. I mean, it was just standoff madness for starting the new year. Crazy stuff.
It is indeed. And your latest story over at lanyapmobile.com talks about public safety as well. And there's a picture of the former sheriff of Baldwin County and now head of the Alabama Sheriff's Association, Huey Haas Mack. People don't, maybe they do, they listen to the station, they realize it, but you have in sheriff's offices, they are a elected position, obviously, but they also deal a lot with what goes on in Montgomery. Every sheriff I've ever talked to over the years, they're always interested in policy in Montgomery, and this is no change here. There's a new thing out. What's he calling for?
So the legislative session starts back on Tuesday, and I've called up Sheriff Mack to kind of get, you know, things that he would like to see become law in 2026. And he read off a laundry list of bills that the Alabama Sheriff's Association would like to see get the votes that they need in this current term, and then head to Kay Ivey's desk. One of those is by Representative Matt Simpson in Daphne to make shooting and killing someone in a crowd like at the Sanger Theater over the summer, to make that a capital crime, a capital murder. And then we have another bill to add to capital crime, one by April Weaver, state senator from Briarfield, to make certain sex crimes like rape of a child under the age of 12, sexual torture, to make that a capital crime as well. Those are two of the big ticket items there. Both came from pretty tragic and shocking news stories.
Yeah.
Matt Simpson, of course, was from the Sanger Theater shooting over the summer. And then Senator Weavers was from the case, I believe it was in Bibb County.
Yeah,
where there
was
sort of a,
it's the worst. Yeah. It's the worst story ever. I don't know.
Yeah.
It one still haunts me.
It's horrible stuff. Horrible stuff. They're trying to get some, you know, some tighter rules through the legislature to, you know, hopefully lead to fewer of those cases.
It would redefine these as capital crimes. Currently, they're not capital crimes. It would redefine them as a capital crime.
Right. That's right. Which means you could be sentenced to death or have life in prison for doing that sort of thing. So that's something that Sheriff Mack would like to see get done in this session. There is another bill too. I think it's by Senator Reed. No, not state senator. Representative Reed Ingram to crack down on these high speed police chases where someone is trying to run from the police. They want to, you know, once they catch that person, to hold them in jail for 48 hours, as you would for like a domestic violence case or for like a DUI, to get those people off of the street and to hold them for a period of time in jail. That's something, you know, that has been seen around the state. We've seen a few of those in Mobile. And then the last piece of legislation that Sheriff Mack would like to see become law is another effort by Senator Weaver to reduce I'm drawing a blank here. It's for youthful offenders. To, you know, if you're 16 and you're charged with murder, you would be waived the youthful offender status there and tried for that
if you're charged with capital murder, right, then you can't say I'm 16, or like we've had these stories about gang, you know, people or not in gangs, but a lot of times in gangs that do these, and they are given youthful. I mean, we hear the gunman was 15 or the gunman was 16.
Right. Yeah. This is an effort to crack down on that. You know, as far as I can recall, we haven't had very many of those cases here lately. We've certainly had
a few years ago. We had one.
Few years. Yeah. But this is something that Sheriff Mack said is going on more in Birmingham and Huntsville and parts north. Definitely something that could happen here, and something that could have an increased penalty if these bills become law in the coming months.
It's once again, and I'll have next week or the week after, I'll have Sheriff Birch on, and I get Sheriff Lowry on, and you know, we talk about law enforcement, but yeah, they absolutely, in talking about law enforcement, they talk about legislation. I mean, it's kind of, they're every one of them I've ever interviewed, it's a political position on a couple levels.
Right. And of course, you know, they have to, you know, they have to arrest these people on these various charges, and you know, they see certain problems or issues in the system that need to be fixed, and that's where the political side of it comes in too, where they can, you know, talk to our elected folks in Montgomery and say, you know, this needs to be tweaked, this needs to be fixed, or needs to be done over. So there's, yeah, I mean, they are boots on the ground. They are seeing these cases happen, seeing problems and issues there, and this is the time that they have to fix them.
Okay. In some lighter news, can you update us on what the city's saying about the Mobile Arena? Because this is going to be the Mardi Gras without a structure. So when are they going to get this done?
Well, the current timeline is to get it done by January 2027. Mardi Gras that year is February 9th.
It's very February early. It's very early.
Insanely early. With that in mind, Mayor Spiro Theriagadis has been really, pushing the workers down there at the Civic Center to get this thing done. And he said he actually would like to see it done by December mm-hmm. of this year. Which I think could be done. They've got some flooring in there now. They're getting ready to put the roof on the new Civic Center in the next 6 to 8 weeks. Some progress is definitely being made. If you go down there right now, you're going to hear a bunch of drills buzzing and a bunch of hammers clanging. There's a lot that's going on down there. December of this year would be interesting to see get open. But if that doesn't happen, they say they're definitely on time and on track, on budget for January of 2027.
So I have to try to figure out, so who will have the first event held in the arena? I'm trying to think what crew would be first. This would be interesting. Who's going to have the first ball in the new arena?
Right.
I have to look at that.
I have not a clue. We'll have to make some phone calls and see who that could be. Maybe it could be...
who's first? Yeah, now I'm going to have to go. I'm sure somebody on the text line will let me know who's first. I would stick with that theme, too. And it's been a success story for people using the Mardi Gras service here, the Amtrak Mardi Gras service. Not so successful for cars trying to go across the tracks in front of them, but for the train going back and forth, to the point now, I guess you're right in here, they're going to put more room for more passengers during Mardi Gras?
That's right. Starting today, actually, they are going to add an extra car to the trains running from Mobile to New Orleans and vice versa. An extra car to carry people to Carnival and Mardi Gras, the delights all along the Mississippi Gulf Coast to Louisiana and then back here to Mobile. That is going to be running until February. Sorry, there's some sort of a siren going on here near me. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see what that's all about. But yeah, they've put an extra car on for Saints games, for people going from Mobile to New Orleans to watch the Saints play. There's been very high demand for this. I still have not had the chance to ride it yet.
Me neither.
Probably going to have to hop on to go to Mardi Gras in New Orleans or Gulfport at some point. So that might be a good time to test it out for some folks who haven't done it yet. You might could join me and Sean on the train.
Should we do
riding
that?
West.
Should we do that like a group trip?
Yeah. I mean that'd be fine with me. It'd be a lot of fun. So
by the way, too, our texture is just a commentator talking to a journalist, and the texter, doing better than either of us, said those sirens are from a crash in front of Greer's at Government and Broad.
All right.
So there we go.
Well, that's news live.
Yep, that's how it happens here. And as we're talking Mardi Gras here, it is that time of year for the Mobile mask back out, and I saw a copy in here today in our offices.
Awesome. Then that means it's getting to all the right people. This is the first year since Lanyap bought the Mobile mask from Mr. Mask Steve Joint. This is a great publication that we've had come out on stands all around Mobile and Baldwin counties today. It's a beautiful book. Lots of good news and features on the Mardi Gras season in the city that started it all. They are on sale for $5, and you can get them at all of your favorite stores: Greer's, Rouse's. They've got them at Toomey's, the Urban Emporium downtown, all over the place.
Good stuff. And if people want to also get signed up for Lanyap here in the new year, how do they do it?
Absolutely. You need to head to lanyapmobile.com. We have a subscription tab you can click on, find the one that works best for you. It's a great way to stay in the loop in 2026.
Excellent stuff, and we'll get that train trip together, and you and I will...
Please.
Okay, we'll figure that out. There he goes, Kyle from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. 126 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We'll check in on precious metals from the professor at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. My buddy Ron. Hey, Ron.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. A little profit taken the other day when we were talking about this in gold and silver prices.
Yes, sir, and it's rebounded, so it's back up over $80 an ounce for silver. So
it didn't take. It took a day.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people came in and sold when it was down, and of course today when it's back up, they're selling like crazy. It's people get scared that it's like, okay, it's over, I'm going to get out. It's like you got to understand profit taking. Healthy, you know, systems help. Whether it's a stock market, bullion, any commodity, you want to see corrections. You shouldn't be living day-to-day staring at your screens. I know it's easy to say and hard to do, but it's a long-term thing in most cases. If you're day trading and if you got the guts for that, that's a whole different thing. But I'd never advocate people do that.
No, and you have been kind of saying, hey, this. You pointed it out through the rise of this last year has been amazing. Rise of precious metals. You're like, okay, so it's healthy. It's a good thing for it to drop because that makes sense to me. People are taking profit. If they don't, you would be more worried than if they did.
Yes. Oh yeah, yeah. Then you got to worry about a bubble bursting because anything that goes up without corrections will eventually pop. And just like the housing market, dot-com stocks, that stuff just can't keep going up unabated because you'll get a huge correction. A lot of times, a crash. So you want to see healthy corrections and then buy on those corrections. Buy when people are actually profit taking. That's the time to do it. Same as in the stock market.
Yeah, just be a contrarian like me, and it ends up working out most of the time. All right, people looking to buy or people looking to sell or just come in and check out the gifts and collectibles, how do they find you?
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can call us on the telephone at 251-725-1590 or check us out on the web at mobilebaycoins.com.
Good stuff, Ron. We'll talk soon.
Have a good day, sir.
Hey, you too. There's Ron checking in, the professor from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. All right. Thank you. The Real Sam said, Mobile's finest, Sean, the Conde Cavaliers will be the first. So on the schedule, speaking of which, too, working today in the other studio where we produce shows and stuff, not like the main studio, with the voice of the Moon Pie Minute, Stephen McNair, and laying down the tracks. So I've already heard some of them already. Moon Pie Minute starts, well, today is, it's going to be a week from today. Is it real? Yes, it's a week from today. We will start the Moon Pie Minute here at FM Talk 106.5 because the whole way through Ash Wednesday. But I heard some really good stuff. Already those tracks laid down. We're putting them through the production Cuisinart, and they'll be ready for you starting a week from today. Moon Pie Minute gets cranked up here at FM Talk 106.5. So that'd be an interesting one. So the next year's Moon Pie Minute, we'll probably talk about the Condies having the first crack at the Mobile Arena. It's going to be, I mean, that's kind of a thing, right? I mean, the new venue. Y'all don't mess it up, okay? Condies, don't. They're on that time. This is, you talk about having a hard deadline. It doesn't exist a lot of times in government projects. But having a venue opened up for Mardi Gras 2027, which is an early Mardi Gras, even earlier than this year, that'll focus some people, right? Coming back, news is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along. 251-343, I'm sorry, New Year's resolution, 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106, plus with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us one of those talk back messages. Just on the front page of the app, you'll see a microphone icon. You press that, records a message, and you stop, emails it to the show, and I can play it back here on the air. All right, it has been a while, and that he probably, I don't know, in years, since Zeke Buchholz has been on the show, but he's back now, and that's a good thing. Hey, man.
Hey, man, how are you?
I'm good. And in that time, I remember when we first started talking, you see, so Zeke is he's a prophet in his own time. He has been leading the push to bring stand-up comedy back to Mobile. And back then, when you and I first talked, you were putting on like a Mobile Comedy Festival. It was like a, you know, for a week, a long weekend, right?
Yeah, we had, you know, some big headliners, and we did a like some rounds of comedy competitions that were just people from around the Southeast submitted, and we were putting a highlight on local comedy, and you know, it's just no matter how hard I try, I just keep getting pulled back into it, and comedy's just
right.
I'm spearheading it. But I mean,
but there's a difference between it being a stand-up, you know, a comic, and working on your routine, what you're going to do, and then getting into the business,
yeah,
and putting this on. They're not the same
thing. It's not the same thing at all. It's honestly kind of heart-shattering a little bit, because I got into it to like have fun and be lighthearted, mm-hmm. but then there's all kinds of deals, all kinds of, I don't know, I'm stressing out during comedy shows. Everybody's laughing, and I'm like, man, little things like the lighting could be a little bit off. It's just, mm-hmm. it's a weird thing that's totally taken over everything that I do.
Well, but it's good to have a person with a sense of what makes a good comedy venue.
Yeah.
Running it.
Right.
I mean, we could look, I guess one of the bigger stories nationally, Joe Rogan having his own place, but having somebody who does the thing, running the thing.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, you're on stage looking at the lights. Somebody who is not on stage would never
right.
think about that or think about where the people are positioned and all that.
Yeah. And whenever I get people coming into the Crescent, they kind of respect it a little bit more because maybe I've done comedy with them. So I kind of have like another, mm-hmm. it's not like another producer just trying to like make a show, get
right,
some
you
bucks
speak
or
the same language.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm just as excited about a good show as they are. I'm not just looking for money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but money would be fine.
Well, we need it now okay. that we're trying to do a brick and mortar. Now yes. we need it. And I'm turning into a little bit more of a capitalist than I used to be.
Right, there you go. It's a funny thing that happens to you that way. You
yeah.
know, when you're the dog that catches the car. I was one, too, worked for guys for 20 years and said, if I had a radio station, I'd do it this way.
Yeah.
And one day I did. And I went, oh, crap, it's time to do the things you said you were going to do. So Crescent Theater, too, and let's talk, and we'll talk about this again at the end. Give me, like, a quick schedule. Somebody thinking, okay, I'm going to come down there, and where to go see who's on when?
Yeah, so, well, I'll start off with tonight. We're doing this thing we like to call comedy shorts during Art Walk, and the weather's starting to look good. It's three short comedy shows that last about 30, 45 minutes, one that's PG, one that's PG-13, and one that's R. So you're not trapped for a full 90-minute show,
right.
And you can kind of pick your flavor. So if you've either had a bad experience with comedy before or you've never had the experience.
Wait, so if you've had a bad guy... had a bad experience.
I don't know if you've ever been to an open mic, but those can get pretty brutal.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah.
But I guess I didn't think about it being like a, sorry, sir, I've had a bad experience with comedy in the past. But yeah, okay, I see what you're saying.
I get people all the time, I was like, man, comedy sucks. It's like, what have you seen? It's like, one comedy open mic. I was like,
yeah, there you go.
I hate it whenever somebody's first show is an open mic so much, because an open mic is its own weird art form where it's just like, these people, this is just, they're just exercising their first right. I mean, it's not going to necessarily be funny, but it's right. going to be chaotic for sure.
Right. So, okay. So if you've seen something, it's not this. This is not a 90 minutes. This is, you come in and I guess the PG or the G show, whichever, PG-13.
Yeah.
So make it 13.
So I've done the past two, and me and Carson have called it, another local comic, Carson Taylor, yeah. have called it the P90X of stand-up comedy. We did it on New Year's Eve, and we had somebody buy tickets to the first one, and it's $5 for all three shows. They bought tickets to the first one and sat through all three shows, and we like had to recycle some material and everything, so, and they were loving it. But we went through all the material that we had, And it was just like we went through everything, and then we're still on stage. Like, all right, what do we do next? Yeah. So it was like,
anybody know a song here? Yeah, you get to a certain point, but so if people want to come tonight, so Door and Art Walk, if they're gonna get the kids or whatever,
yeah,
your dad, you get this right,
yeah.
So
for sure,
that
the PG one, if you've got kids, that's all age. That's
okay.
If they can watch Moana, then they can see the comedy show.
Okay.
I mean, it's still live comedy, so some things happen, but I don't know. It hasn't, so I can't, it's hard to control whenever somebody gets on stage. But the PG-13 is kind of that middling. I mean, if you're cool with your, it's going to have some cuss words, not the raunchiest, but then R is the raunchiest.
Okay.
So.
But the first show starts when?
First show starts at 7:30.
Okay. And then?
And then 8:30 and then 9:30.
Okay.
And then New Year's Eve, we did a 10:30 one because we were having so much fun. That's whenever we were like burnt out.
You ran out of material.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so tonight, somebody, if you're going down to Art Walk, you could either go walk around, do other stuff and come in for the R show or go early to the show and then walk around.
Do other stuff. Yeah. We got two comics coming in from New Orleans for it. And one guy, Ryan Adams from here, is going to be kind of manning the ship for us.
Okay. What's our scene looking like these days?
There's a lot of new people that are coming out, which is really inspiring, like really good to see, because there was a drought after COVID for a little bit where all the people that were coming out stopped coming out. But now we've got a lot of new people. And Carson Taylor, another local comic that does whippersnapper comedy, has been kind of spearheading and like really getting people writing. And they're kind of now they're working cleaner now because they want to get on these shows. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of actually working it all out, turn it into a tool. Like, oh, this is actually like a thing that could maybe pay a bill or something.
Right.
Yeah. So,
I mean, you and I were talking before we started our friendly common Killer Bees. I'm old enough that I remember the venues we had here when I was growing up in high school, and 1090 we'd go to, and then I went off to school, came down, and we had been truly a comedy desert.
Yeah.
They do have a food desert. We're a comedy desert here for a long time. So I encourage what y'all have done putting on the weekends and now to have a place.
Yeah.
Like, if I want this, I know to go there.
Yes, right. And that's what we've been, that's kind of been the Schrodinger's box, We don't, for so long, we haven't known, like, is a brick and mortar thing, either we're going to know for sure that nobody wants to see comedy shows, or there's going to be no excuse, So if nobody's showing up,
right,
then like now, So we're getting it out there. We're still doing movies and everything. Every Tuesday in January, we're trying out, calling it Talky Tuesdays. So it's movies from like the 30s and 40s. We're doing Bringing Up Baby this coming Tuesday. And my dad bartends because he's 75. So it's like you get genuine old with your old
this
movie.
This is awesome.
And he's very.
Does he pour them heavy? Does he pour them pretty heavy?
He's only had one shift so far.
Dad,
so he's,
if I show up, pour them heavy.
Yeah, there you go. Sean Sullivan said pour them heavy.
Yes. But you're doing that. And then on other given nights, people know. We get comedy shows.
Yeah. So we're working on doing things regularly, but pretty much every weekend we're going to have at least two comedy shows and two movies. That's what we're going for.
Okay.
We want to get to a point where we can every day. Do what?
Two movies, two comedy shows.
Yeah, keep up with it on crescenttheater.com. We put everything that we have on sale. It goes on that calendar there. And on Facebook, I keep all the events updated on the marquee, too, on Dolphin Street. So... And we've got, some big people coming, like Rocky Dale Davis, who's from Birmingham, who's blown up. He's got mm-hmm. millions and millions of followers. We're doing after Mardi Gras, we're going to start, Justin Stagner,
mm-hmm.
So Southern Grandpa, a.k.a. He's going to start doing a monthly showcase, like Zany's does one with Dustin,
yes.
where he just like gets people in every month.
Okay.
And he closes it out with like 15 minutes or something. So his curated...
So these are the monthly. People he's bringing new voices
so,
to the,
so he'll have some, he's reach out to some creators that have either wanted to try comedy or are kind of new in it or are just coming through Mobile for some reason. Maybe they're on the way to New Orleans mm-hmm. or maybe they just love, they want to see the real Mardi Gras.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the catch.
That'll get
them every time. But it's great though, on one side of it, to think about where the world is now, because with digital, you can go out there. You could post, whether it be TikTok or Facebook or YouTube or whatever, and material, and get some followers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not the same as a live audience telling you whether you're funny or
right.
not, but it does, like, I guess it's a pretty good workout room for ideas.
It is incredible. So Justin Stagner is kind of an anomaly because he's only been doing comedy for a couple of years, not even.
A natural.
And he is a natural. Like, I kind of asked him, I was like, man, how did you, I've been working on this for 13 years.
Makes
like,
me sick.
I know. He's like, man, I just go up there and I think I have a knack for it. I'm like, you're not wrong. Like, it's great because now he got signed to UTA, the big talent agency. And he like sold a whole bunch of tickets in South Carolina this past weekend. And so now he loves that he's got a home place that he can just drop in on and practice. And instead of having to go to the open mics but the open mics are very, very important. They're a huge part of making a comedy scene really thrive.
Okay. So, for people who don't follow this, it's like, open mics, is that minor leagues or park ball?
That's park ball.
That?
Yeah. So every third Wednesday we're doing a curated comedy open mic where we only have 18 people sign up. It's less chaotic, and it's really kind of we're playing it as a proving ground. So like, do well at this open mic. If I see like you're putting the work in, you're funny, this is hilarious, and you're not like completely polarizing a room, which is one thing that a lot of open micers have to get through, is they want to just say whatever and be real edgy, but you'll see once you get professional, it's like, that's not, that polarizes, that just, maybe three people will be giggling. And then it's like, if you want to be professional, if you want to go to the masses, you have to be able to read your room and play to it. So we give them that opportunity at the open mic, or I go out to the, there's an open mic on Tuesdays at Oyster City. There's one on Thursdays at Slurp Society. And these guys are just, you know, working it out, coming in from Pensacola, coming in from New Orleans.
And then y'all are out, like, you got to be recruiters.
Yeah,
like you're
pretty
recruiting football. Like, okay, this kid's got talent. Yeah, let's try to get him up to the next level.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of them that are only like a year or two in. But there's some funny new people that it's really great. And hopefully, you know, we get some of the old folks coming out again. We did, actually. The guy who ran the scene before me, Ryan Jetton or William Masters, he had a man on the street thing with Lanyap. He kind of helped start the scene originally at the Blind Mule in the early 2000s. And then I kind of took it on from him. He was the one that was booking big headliners. And it's great because we've got Emo Phillips coming, which is a huge.
Holy, I hadn't thought about that name in forever.
Right? Yeah, he was all over MTV.
Yes.
We've got Sean Patton. We've got some pretty... Oh, we already had Sean Patton.
Maybe you'll have him again.
I'm sure we will. I think that's the thing is... And he talks and tells his friends that he loved it. He already told the guy, another guy that was coming. It was like three thumbs up. So word's going to spread and we're going to get people dropping in all the time because they'll know that there's a spot in Mobile that they can come and do a set.
Okay, we're coming right back. More with Zeke Buchholz. It is the Crescent Theater. It's Comedy Mobile. It's Southern comedy, which is a great thing. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 152 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Zeke Buchholz, our guest here. You can see him not only performing at the Crescent, you can see him worrying over lighting.
Yep.
And ticket sales. And
bartending.
His dad pouring heavy drinks for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is the it's the old myth, like, you're a real good plumber, and then you start a plumbing company and you're like, I'm not getting to do plumbing very much, I'm doing office stuff.
Mitch Hedberg said it's like somebody worked their whole life to get good at being a chef, and then opened their own restaurant, and somebody said, can you farm? It's like,
no, what do you mean? I was thinking about it. I said Southern comedy. And you get people from all over come through here, but obviously our recruiting league, where y'all are doing your recruiting here on the Gulf Coast. But I think about Southern comics too, and Derek Stroop.
Oh yeah.
So I enjoy Alabama guy, and I enjoy his comedy. He's part of a group of Southern comics that I watched that they do Southern comedy for Southerners. Mm-hmm. Versus, like, and this may be nuanced, I may be wrong on it, but a lot of times people from here would go perform away from here to get them to laugh at us.
Yeah.
Get the people over there in the North or the West to laugh at us versus talking to a Southern audience and getting us to laugh at us. Does that, I don't know how to explain that, but I enjoy that a lot.
It's, it is very nuanced and crowds can be different from, you know, just here to Mississippi. Like there's a thing that a lot of people that comics that come over from Mississippi yell the whole time, is because they said they're trying to get their attention. So they're just like
hollering at you the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it also just the Gulf Coast itself is kind of got its own little nuanced thing. So even further, whenever somebody can kind of make fun of, you know, talking about tropical storms, talking about things we know, talking about nuanced things that other people around the country don't get, then it really is kind of like you're in on the joke instead of it being just like, hey. In Seattle, I remember one time I just like went up there and did a real, real thick country accent and it just said, I'm just kidding. And they all died laughing.
That's pretty
funny. Oh, you guys thought I was for real.
That's like, pretty funny. And look, I got shoes too.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is like you'll see some people like watching a special or something like that and they're like, I'm from the South. And he's doing the show in the West or the Northeast. And then the gag is, oh, back home, everybody's like this.
Yeah.
Because it fits in the stereotype, which stereotypes can be funny, but people laugh it up, versus seeing somebody who's a Southerner do a set and picking on the South.
Yeah.
But really getting that nuance, and you're cracking up, and you're like, it's our stuff talking to us.
Yeah.
One
of my favorite brands is, or genres, is Smart Redneck. That's kind of breaking down the stereotypes. It's like really like, oh, this dude's like a Rocky Dale Davis type of guy. Like, it's have real good takes, and it's like, it's things that surprise, like, man, I know you think I'm this way, but I'm actually,
because
you
look at the hair in the hat with Rocky Dale.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And growing up here and being like growing up in a trailer park, you know.
Yeah. You think, and then all of a sudden, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the thing I didn't expect. Boom, there's a laugh.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. And that is kind of the whole setup, is you just got to try and surprise people most of the time, I think, if it's good, you know.
But that's why I'm saying, I think it's even a heavier lift when you surprise somebody, a local audience, with a local nuanced thing.
Yeah.
Here's a way to look at things that you might not have thought about that elicits a laugh, versus going away from here and saying, hey, we're real different.
Yeah. Yeah, things can get way deeper. It's not a shallow joke about it. It's more, and I know curating our own scene around here kind of has given a new kind of little nuance to our group of comedians that come out of here that have worked primarily in the Gulf Coast rooms. So they kind of go out amongst people and they've kind of got a voice that speaks for Mobile a little bit, or the Gulf Coast. So it's kind of a fun thing to see.
Which is a good thing. Yeah, they're making people from all around the Gulf Coast know that there's a thing happening here.
Yeah, I kept talking about Carson. He did a show in Kansas City.
Oh, you're talking about Carson?
Carson Taylor, yeah. He's so filming his special on February 2nd on his birthday at Crescent, obviously. That's why. But no, he was in Kansas City, and everybody called him Bama, but he was crushing all the rooms, and then everybody loved him. He got a bunch of contacts and stuff. So it's fun to kind of be like, oh, we're Mobile out there, out and about. We've got a scene. We're doing stuff down here, you know?
And you said, because you talked about a little bit about comics who will come through here, even traveling, will talk amongst themselves about, hey, that's a pretty cool venue. Those are cool guys and gals down there.
Yeah. Really, we've had some people, like Todd Berry is very, very... if you know who he is, he's real cynical, and he can be real critical of everything, but he loved the room too. And he's a guy that's always working in New York with all the biggest comedians. So he's going to talk about Mobile having a great room now, a great place to go. And
that helps.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. So I think we get people coming from, I've widened my ads because it turns out people are driving like an hour and a half, 2 hours to come to some of these shows.
Oh, 100%.
At least. So I've...
Last show I went to out of here, I drove to Atlanta to see Tim Dillon.
Yeah.
I mean, I just thought,
right, yeah. We're working towards... if you look at... I mean, we've got so many big people coming up that keep surprising folks, but we've got more that we're working on. We've got Ben Bankis, who's popping off on Facebook right now. He's pretty offensive, but if you're into one, actually the first show already sold out. We just added a second show. It's next weekend. So I didn't want to add a second show, but my partner likes to party. So,
so it's, well then I might, you've got my attention. You said offensive.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's very offensive. It's a,
we'll see how offensive I can hack it.
Yeah. You'll have to look. I don't know.
Well, I don't expect you to do anybody's bits. You just told me enough that you intrigued me.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah. You'll have like to look him up. Somebody Ben, Benbankas. He's very, 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 very offensive. And it's his whole thing is just to kind of go against the man. Like, look, I'm just saying this. I don't even know how to explain it. You'll have to look it up.
We'll have to see it. All right. So once again, tonight it's Art Walk, but there are three shows during Art Walk.
Three shows, three short shows. We've got a PG show, a PG-13 show, and an R-rated show. And you can pay $5 and get into all of them. They all last about 30 to 45 minutes. Two folks coming in from New Orleans. My wife's going to be making waffles and bartending behind the bar where I am. And my partner, Stu, is driving in from New Orleans as well. And he books a bunch of stuff. He's got contacts, you know. So we've got the Inn in all the, I don't know what I'm saying. I just kind of babbled right there.
I think it makes, you got the in. People are traveling in.
Yeah, people are coming in. It's going to be worth it.
There you go. CrescentTheater.com and their social media platforms are all the same deal. Zeke, best of luck. I will see you downtown soon.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate you.
All right, Paul Feinbaum on the way next, y'all. Have a great weekend.